The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you on Tuesday morning. It's the 18th of February 2020. We're here till 10. The text number is 51551 and you can email ryan@rte.ie. We have plenty to talk about. Possibly going to talk about my favourite novel of the year so far. It being mid-February, I think this is the one that has engaged me to the point of wanting to get to bed earlier, wanting to wake up before work earlier so I could spend more time to get through the book. And when I say get through, I mean it's just one of those books that passes the test, makes you want to turn off the TV, makes you want to find a corner and read for a few more minutes. Yeah, they're very rare, few and far between. And I'm going to talk about that book. It's called Dear Edward. And it's going to frighten you. Because the story is about and I can tell you pretty much about it. You'll want to hear about it. It's about a little boy who's 12 years old and he's with his brother and his mum and dad and a plane full of people. And they're going from New York and they're crossing the coast from coast to coast and the plane goes down and everyone dies apart from this boy, Edward. And the book jumps from chapter for chapter, each one. So there's on the plane, describing a typical flight on a plane, getting the food, the air hostess, alights on about six people's characters, gets into their background. And then the next chapter is after the crash and Edward coming to terms with the fact he's lost everything and everyone. And it is the most intriguing book I've read for a long time. Really well written, utterly absorbing, and one that I will, you know, the way if I'm telling, I try not to sell you pups here with whatever it might be. But particularly with books. And I think this is one that will be universally of interest to people. I made one error, and I'll tell the author, because we're talking to the author after the book a little later on, which was I was reading it with, even though I was going to be getting a flight towards the end of the week. So I was trying to get through it before, this book was not coming with me to Dublin Airport. This book was not coming with me to Dublin Airport. And I'll speak to, as I say, the author of Dear Edward, a copy of her book I have it marked up here. It's Anne Napolitano will be joining us live on the programme this morning. So we'll talk more about that later, but just pens and paper at the ready if you need a recommendation for a good book. That's what you need in your life. As do you need a random act of kindness, because we spoke yesterday about Caroline Flack and the lack of kindness in the world. And there's a thing called Random Acts of Kindness Day. And I think it might have been yesterday as it happens, but it doesn't really matter. It should be every day anyway. They want you to become a racktivist, as in random act of kindness-tivist. Quite a nice thing to suggest. But the good news is that if you're feeling, why should I bother? I'm on the mood. It's boring to be nice. Just to, you will actually benefit from it. Apparently, it has a health, you get what's called a helper's high. This little like dopamine shot of euphoric experience that makes you say, I feel good. And they put this study together that shows that putting the well-being of others before our own without expecting anything in return, we call it altruism, it stimulates the reward centres of the brain and those feel-good chemicals flood our system, producing this helper's high. You know, volunteering, for example, has been shown to minimise stress and improve depression. That's not all. The same activity can also reduce the risk for cognitive impairment, make us live longer. One reason for this is because kindness contributes to our sense of community and belonging. And that studies have found is a key contributor to a healthy, longer life. You know, if you see an Operation Transformation, for example, when they do the run and everyone goes out on the run and they get the high vis and they all go running together, community comes together. It's nice. We call it metal in Ireland for years. Just being kind, being nice. It's a beautiful thing. And giving donations to others, or what's called pro-social spending, that sounds a bit gobbledygooky, but it is what it is, has been shown to reduce blood pressure and improve heart health. This is scientific medical fact that being kind is a good thing that will make you feel better. Isn't that good? Tell you what else will make you feel better for those of you who are lucky enough to have siblings in your life. Apparently, having a sister is better than having a brother. Well, and when I say that, I mean having a sister can make you a happier person. Very briefly, Professor Tony Cassidy said,
from her.ie. Sisters appear to encourage more open communication and cohesion in families. However, brothers seem to have the alternative effect. Emotional experience is fundamental to good psychological health, and having sisters promotes this in families. And it could be that boys have a natural tendency not to talk about things. And with boys together, it is about a conspiracy of silence not to talk. Girls, though, tend to break that down. And that's what they're saying there. And that's why we're always very happy on this programme, on The Late Late Show, when men in particular talk about things that we have, may have been more used to hearing women talking about. I think that is being broken down, to be honest with you. I think it's possibly one of the healthiest things in the world. Tell you what's not the healthiest thing in the world is the world's worst smell. And I'm going to tell you what it is. 1998, we need to go back to 1998, and to a woman called Pamela Dalton. Who's she? She's a cognitive psychologist. And she was given the job to develop a stink bomb for the Department of Defense of the United States of America. God bless America. That was her job. Her experiments found that people from different backgrounds and different parts of the world, I thought this was intriguing, who grew up smelling and eating different things, completely disagreed about what smells good or bad. Think about it for a second. Who decided that's a bad smell? Who decided that's a good smell? Strawberry. Like, what if we were conditioned from childhood that the smell of strawberry was disgusting? You know, it's like when you might say to your dog, we used to say to the dog, well, some weird social experiment going, would you say to the dog, good dog, you're a very good dog. And the dog goes, what? I didn't do anything. And then you say, you're the boldest dog in the world. I can't stand you and you smell. And they respond to the sound, not the words. And equally, who decided strawberries don't smell like that? And that smells like strawberries. The best candidate Dr. Dalton found for universally distasteful smell was something called, and we have this. This is great. We actually have evidence of how to describe the worst smell. US government standard bathroom malodor. Bad smell. A substance that was designed to mimic the scent of military field latrines in order to test cleaning products. She chose the aromatic liquid as the base of her stink bomb recipe. The resulting formula, which she called stench soup, may well be the worst smell ever created. That's it. So army toilets is your answer. What's the worst smell in the world? A science writer called Mary Roach is one of the few humans who's tried inhaling stench soup. She described the aroma as, and I quote, Satan on a throne of rotting onions. Unquote. Good luck with that. Do you find, and have you had this conversation with friends recently, and I certainly have, where you're talking about a something. You might be talking about, say, red cars or narcos or Santa or whatever it might be. And then for whatever weird reason, on your phone or whatever social media you might be on, an ad comes up for the thing you've just been talking about. Have you noticed this? Now, this has happened too many times for me to think, ah, no, look, lads, you're just talking through your hat. There's not. But you could be talking about something. It has to be something peculiar, like seashells. If you're in the kitchen talking about seashells, and then you come up and you turn on your phone, and the next thing, an ad for whatever reason comes on saying, would you like a bedside lamp carved out of a seashell? You go, wait, hang on a second. Is that coincidence or are they listening? I mean, are they actually listening? You're listening this morning. Welcome. But are they listening? That's a very different question. It's like China and the drones. Don't play chess. Put that mask on. Shouting at them from a distance of God knows where, from the clouds. Are they listening? According to the Irish Mail, Daily Mail, it sits in millions of homes listening for requests for everything from weather updates to shopping orders and even turning on smart heating systems. But Alexa is back. Alexa always starts them off in their houses around the place. Alexa poses such a threat to privacy that even a former executive of the online giant, Amazon, has admitted to regularly turning his machine off to protect that privacy. This guy was a former senior manager of Amazon Web Services, revealed that he disables the artificial intelligence powered service whenever he wants a private moment. Because Amazon admits that in an attempt to improve speech recognition, its staff listen to some voice recordings from devices such as its Echo speakers that have Alexa built into them. Is that not creepy? I'm a little bit creeped out, but a tiny bit. Okay, two quick animal stories. Yeah, we're okay for time. Hop and Glory, great headline. Scientists at Washington University have developed a cyborg grasshopper that detects explosives. And sure enough, if you want to look it up, Lonnie, I'm not joking, there's a picture of a grasshopper being held by a scientist's glove, and attached to its back, he, she, who knows, is a little package of some sort that allows the grasshopper to detect explosives. Man, did you see on the news there a week or two ago the locust, the swarm of locusts in Africa? Did you see that? I mean, you think, you know, with bad rain, like sleety, bad, where you can't see in front of your eyes. Imagine that water was locusts. Like, it's biblical, is the word I was looking at going, that is biblical. You can see why people once upon a time would have said it was sent by somebody, because it looks so otherworldly. Anyway, that's by the by. Back to a different animal, because Ralph Regal writes in the Indo today that a specially trained Irish guard dog is to be sent to a South African wildlife reserve in a desperate bid to protect rhinos from ruthless poachers. How about that? The Dutch Shepherd, 14-month-old Scout, was trained by Rory Hennebury and Padraig O'Keefe of Munster Canine and donated to the South African Reserve, where wildlife rangers have been fighting a losing battle against heavily armed poachers. And the Munster Canine team has used its dogs to help in the training of Ireland's Special Forces, the elite Army Ranger Wing. A fully trained combat tracking dog can be worth almost €30,000. And the South African Reserve now hopes that Scout will help protect the rhinos, park rangers and even reserve personnel. So well done to them. Nice little twist in the Irish. So I'll take one other animal story as we're on a roll, which was a woman from Michigan in the United States got on the plane. Everyone survived, thank God, on a recent series of flights. She brought, you know, the service dogs, and the airlines are kind of saying, lads, I think you're all taking the mick with what the service, you know, cockroaches and service mice and whatever. And she brought on her service horse, like a little Shetland, like a tiny mini horse, like a bonsai horse, dressed up like a Mexican wrestler, you know, those with the just the eyes exposed. And she travelled first class to California so that she could have enough room for him, Fred, the horse. And Fred's flying days, though, are going to pretty much soon be over because they're tightening the laws that say only dogs actually trained to help the disabled qualified for flights. I mentioned guide dogs on Friday on the Late Late Show at the end. And thanks for watching, by the way. That did massive business for us. It was very nice to see that, very gratifying that you all tuned in. But I mentioned at the end of the show that I'm going to be meeting somebody this Friday night on the Late Late Show who I've never met in my whole life. And I think in all the years of broadcasting, I think it's bonkers that I haven't met him. But Roy Keane is coming on the show on Friday night, and I'm really excited. We were in the Crawford Gallery last week in Cork, and there's a great photograph of Roy Keane there. I took a picture with him. I must post it up because he's somebody who's been, we've all kind of grown up with, but known so well. I feel like I know him, but we're going to give him a great welcome and a great interview, I hope, on Friday night. So I'm looking forward to that. No end. Okay, Eminem, how about that? Eminem has cemented his status as a force to be reckoned with after another of his music videos passed the 1 billion views on YouTube. Can you believe this? 1 billion views. Very few people have done that. Despacito got in there. His track Not Afraid and Love the Way You Lie, featuring Rihanna, have also surpassed 1 billion. But the rap god has passed the 1 billion. This is just what you're missing if you're not part of the billion army. I'm beginning to feel like a rap god. All my people from the front to the back. Now who thinks that arms are long enough to slap box? They said I rap like a robot, so call me rap. But for me to rap like a computer must be in my jeans. I got a laptop in my back pocket. You might find it strange. Actually, I'm quite into that sort of thing. I rather like that. And I'm sure Marshall Mathers is only beside himself with joy knowing that I'm happy for him and with him. Adele, the singer, was at a wedding of her best friend recently, the last couple of nights. And at the wedding, she got up with the wedding band to have the crack. And it evolved her singing with basically a pub band or a wedding band. Few tunes. Now, I have to say, if you're in a wedding band or indeed a house band, and the next thing you know, Adele stands up and says, "Can I have a go?" You'd be kind of inclined to say, "Yeah, why not?" I'm not sure I had the quality of this footage, but this is where she got up and sang a version of Rolling in the Deep. This is Adele at the wedding with the band and the mic having the crack. You know what? Once a wedding band, always a wedding band. But no, nothing wrong with a good wedding band. And that, it does prove, though, a wedding is a wedding. Even if you have Adele with a microphone in your hand, it's still going to be everyone in, singing and roaring. She tried Young Hearts Run Free too. Yeah, that sounds like she's having fun, isn't she? Something happened in her life that made her, I think, turn a corner and have loads of crack, which is good. She sang Spice Up Your Life as well, and she's enjoying herself. And then I think in a moment of madness, she announced, yeah, and my album's coming out in September. I said, what? All the Adele fans are going, your album is what? So that's exciting news for the Adele followers around you. Shouts of Alexis is on the show, and my device flashes ready to go. Ryan, hashtag you have the power. I know I do. That's why I keep saying I love Alexa. I like doing it. It just freaks me out that it has this power. Please stop saying Alexa, says the text. Obviously, reading this text means that you have to say Alexa. Okay, I will stop saying Alexa now. Kindness is simple, says Bob, or Rob even. It's in giving that we receive. Indeed. And Sinead says, I agree that men in general talk less, but there's more than one way to foster feeling close to each other, like humour or giving time or just being there. And brothers can do lots of these things. My brother is the best. Yeah, we wouldn't be anti-brothers on this show. That is for sure. It's 919 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. Actually, that song has me thinking now. Yeah, let's do it. You know, I mean, kids are off. If you're in the kitchen, you can say, children, this is what we used to dance like in the 70s. Go. Yeah, Vinny was the king of the dance floor in the 1970s, and he texted in to say, I'm driving between Skull and Skibbereen. What a beautiful drive that must be. And dancing and shaking my shoulders to Young Hearts Run Free. I love that. I love when you see somebody else in the car near you in the traffic clearly dancing to the same song. Car dancing can only work from the kind of the mid-riff section up, and otherwise you're gone. We also danced this in the 90s. You're quite right. It was on the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, bopping around the kitchen there with my four-year-old. That's what I was hoping you might be doing. But of course, you're right, 70s, and it was brought back for another breath of life. The little note attached to this card, you mentioned that you loved the smell of Big Red chewing gum, even on your tissues. Yeah, I had found some Big Red chewing gum from America. Cinnamon. And then you really need to try this natural deodorant. P.S. I love your show. Thank you, Aoife, from mycottondrawer.com. Thank you, Aoife. But then I was kind of looking in there. So where is the deodorant? I don't understand. I just see this little tin of lip balm, which was nice because it's cinnamon lip balm. I'm sure it's a very nice thing. Then I looked at the thing and it says cinnamon cedarwood pit putty, or pit putty, as we'd say, but pit putty. So what is this little tin? You know, it's exactly like beeswax or whatever those little things might be. I'm not going to touch it in case somebody actually wants this pit putty. But it's for you're to wipe it on your armpits as a deodorant. I don't think I'd like that sensation, let alone the trial of it. But I think it says 100% natural vegan deodorant that really works. It says it on the tin. Therefore, well, I think you'd want to be quite committed to your maybe it's environment and armpit equally, but very generous of you to send it in, Aoife. Thank you. Pit putty, cinnamon flavoured for your armpits. I never saw the like. Never heard of such a thing, but obviously it's a thing. So thank you for enlightening me and educating me. I appreciate it. It's 9:25 this Tuesday morning. Liam says, of course the machines are listening. It happens to me all the time. The best one was when I agreed to walk a friend's dog for a week when he was on holidays. Prior to that, I'd never owned or walked a dog in my life. What did I get? Well, a shower of ads for dog food and various dog-related products. I'm sure lots of people have the same experience, as indeed you have. So it's not just crazy imagination. They're listening. And what do? Like so often with things, we passively say, oh, right, they're listening, right. What's next? What's on TV? As opposed to, is that not really invasive? I think we when I think about it more and more, the internet and mobile phones, we sleepwalked into it all. If we knew now, if we knew where it would go and the damage that these things would do, I think it outweighs the good in many respects. But that could be old fogey speak. I'm not quite sure. I'll have to think of that through a little more.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Carol was, no, best rest in peace, dear Carol. Sorry, no, this is a text saying, young hearts made me get up out of bed and dance my heart out around the bedroom. It brought me back to summer 1976. After completing my Leaving Cert, I headed off to London with my dear friend Carol, and that was the backtrack to our great big adventure. The power of music is amazing. And rest in peace, poor old Carol. That's a sad and yet joyful memory that you have. So thank you for sharing that with us. Discussing a hotel near Skibbereen over coffee last week, says the text, the two out of three who had their phones out with them got an ad for a weekend away. I discussed it with my son, who advised disabling microphone in privacy settings. Did we hear that? Disable the microphone in privacy settings. Let's see if that changes things. My four-year-old daughter, said the text, was having a good argy-bargy with her two-year-old brother when you read out the benefits of having a sister. I'm not sure if my two-year-old son would agree with the research this morning. Well, research is purely, I suppose, putative in the sense that it's not necessarily true. It's theoretical is probably what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, you can thrash that out together, but in peace and love, clearly. The Brits are on tonight, aren't they? The Brits are on tonight. And there's this singer called Celeste is being tipped. So let's get ahead of the curve there and try to be a tiny little bit on the money with things like saying to the kids tomorrow, yeah, you know, Celeste is she's great. She's great. Here she is. The song's called Stop This Flame. Let's give it a whirl. That's Celeste, Stop This Flame, and she's going to win stuff tonight at the Brits, apparently. So now you know, and you're armed with that information tomorrow when you can tell everyone. Yeah, I know, I knew. Oh, with that track, would we say Shades of Moving On Up via Adele? You are, like, did you hear my thoughts, whoever sent that? Because that's exactly what I thought. Those two exact things were in my head. That's weird that you would think those exact same things. I mean, honestly, the two very things. The gist of the email was 2 weeks ago, this guy Barry and Jacinta had stopped in the Evoca Cafe in Kilmechanic for coffee. They were going to do a cliff walk from Greystones to Bray. They didn't know anything about the area, so they asked the lady at the pay desk, how do we get there? What's the best place to park? A random stranger, also in the queue, offered us her advices to us and said she would drive ahead of us into Greystones for the best place to park, and told us she was not from there but knew the area and told us about the starting points for the walk. We took her up on her offer, had a lovely day, wanted to say a special thank you to the lady who went out of her way to help us all. Kindness is alive and well. And that is the note on which we will leave you. Go forth and be happy and be kind, and stay tuned to China Rock, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.